This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Happy birthday, Bob Zimmerman. Your subscriptions and donations are most welcome because there's a great deal of activity in commercial space and in discoveries in our solar system. Is moving parts, different names, all in the same direction to monetize discovery. Bob, a very good evening to you. You're beginning with SpaceX because all eyes are on Starship Super Heavy, but there's a lot more movement going on in Boca Chica than just a launch. First, let's start with the launch. Where are we? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Once again, I have to thank your readers for donating to support Buying the Black. I really appreciate their support. It makes this worth doing. SpaceX is gearing up for the third Super Heavy Starship orbital test launch. The last one was in November. It looked like they were pretty much ready to launch in early January. Of course, they didn't launch in early January, and now we're moving into mid-February, and they still haven't launched. And Elon Musk has said they should be ready to launch in 3 weeks. The truth is, they've been ready to launch since January, but they can't launch because they have to get approval from the FAA. Now, SpaceX does an investigation of the November test launch, what went wrong, what went right, what they needed to do to fix it, and then submits it to the FAA, and the FAA then rubber stamps it. FAA makes believe it does its own investigation by sitting on SpaceX's reports for a period of time, but they don't do any investigation. The GAO has made this very, very clear. Now, SpaceX has not completed its investigation of the November launch. I still think they would have launched earlier because they like to do a lot of test flights, and every test flight teaches them something, and they can do overlap. They can apply what they learned in November on maybe the fourth mission, not the third, but they couldn't because they have to get FAA approval. They say they're going to shoot it and they're going to launch in early March. We'll have to wait and see. There are question marks involved. If they submit their final report to the FAA and the FAA quickly approves it and gives them a launch license, then they will go in early March. But if they do what they've done previously, they sat on the SpaceX investigation from April's launch. They sat on it for almost 2 months before they issued their license. And there was no reason for them to sit so long, but that's what they did. So we'll just have to wait and see how that plays out. But this ties into other stories, John, because SpaceX is being hampered by government red tape with SpaceX, with Super Heavy and Super Heavy and Starship. But SpaceX and Elon Musk is being hindered by government actions in numerous ways. And the thing about SpaceX that's interesting is they don't take this with their hands sitting on their hands. They take action. For example, a judge in Delaware canceled a pay package for Elon Musk from Tesla, and he did that because he just didn't like how much money Musk was going to get in that pay package, even though 80% of the shareholders agreed with it. So he canceled that pay package. So what does Elon Musk do? He announced this week they have officially now filed to move their corporation from Delaware to Texas, which will take significant tax dollars out of Delaware's hands. And that's not the first SpaceX company. I'm sorry, Elon Musk company has done this. It's other company, his other company, Neuralink, shifted the incorporation from Delaware to Nevada also after that judge's ruling. He doesn't sit on his hands. He tells people, if the government's going to get in his way, he's going to make it take an action. Here's another example, John. You know that SpaceX has got lots of court suits from activists and the DOJ and a lot of other places trying to shut down Boca Chica. No launches there. There's one in particular activist group called Save Rio Grande Valley. They say that Boca Chica and SpaceX is ruining the Rio Grande Valley, and they've got multiple lawsuits over time trying to stop Boca Chica. Well, SpaceX's response to this is to put more money into Brownsville and the region, which makes it much more difficult for that region and the government officials there to stop SpaceX. They've announced plans to build a $100 million office complex in Brownsville. You asked me before we started, John, whether or not not the actual corporate offices of SpaceX is going to be in Brownsville now. Maybe, they haven't said, but they are moving to Texas, their corporation, so maybe. Either way, that puts a lot of money into Brownsville, and they've already put in tens of thousands of jobs and literally almost several billion dollars of investment into the Brownsville area. That area was depressed until SpaceX came along. So SpaceX is making it very clear. You want to claim we're destroying the region? That's going to be hard to do with this kind of stuff. So, once again, this is how you fight back, and SpaceX demonstrates it, John.
Varda has an orbiter, but the orbiter wants to land. How is it going with the government, Bob?
Yeah, this is another example of government interference. Varda is a company that it's a startup that has its business plan is this. It'll put a capsule up into space, which it'll then bring back to Earth. And in that capsule, you can manufacture things for sale on Earth. One of the big things that for decades, everyone in the pharmaceutical industry has known that if you could manufacture certain pharmaceuticals in weightlessness, those would be valuable on Earth and could be sold. Under the shuttle program, the private company was on the verge of doing this when the Challenger accident happened, and they were shut down. They never could do it. They had already proven the technology on the shuttle that they could make pharmaceuticals for profit in space. So Varda is offering this, and it launched a capsule that it was going to bring back in the early fall, like September, with pharmaceuticals on board for treating HIV. But the FAA and the military couldn't get their act together to give Varda a permit to land its capsule in a test range in Utah. The same test range that NASA has used multiple times to bring back Bennu samples and interstellar particle samples with capsules, but they wouldn't give them permission. So it sat there in orbit for 6 months. They finally got permission from the FAA to bring the capsule back last week, and now Rocket Lab is in the process. Rocket Lab is the service module, kind of the tug that's controlling this capsule, and it's beginning the maneuvers to bring that capsule back on February 21st. I don't know if those pharmaceuticals will be viable anymore. From Varda's point of view, this was a demonstration mission. So even if the pharmaceuticals have been destroyed by the government's intransigence, if they get those pharmaceuticals back and they prove that they did this manufacturing process worked, they will have demonstrated their business plan works. And they've got three more missions with Rocket Lab capsules in the future to launch. And so there's a potential there. So I hope they land and I hope it works.
A nuclear weapon in space is one of the possibilities of what was announced in Washington in these last hours of an anti-satellite weapon developed by Russia, also mentioning Starlink, because Russia has heretofore said that Starlink can be regarded as a weapon in Ukraine. Anti-satellite weapons have been talked about for years. I believe the Outer Space Treaty bans them, but that hasn't stopped the talk, Bob.
Yes, this treaty says you're not supposed to bring weapons into space, but of course that's a joke. You can't. It's like, in a sense, it's like gun control laws. People want to break the law, they're going to break the law. And this story, this whole ridiculous story, is a joke because the congressman who made an announcement and the White House spokesman who confirmed the announcement did not announce anything we don't know and haven't known for 40 years. The Russians have an anti-satellite capability they're developing. That's the announcement. Well, Lordy, they've had an anti-satellite capability for 40 years. They've done tests for 40 years. In fact, a few years ago, they did an anti-satellite test that created a great deal of debris in ISS's orbit. This is not news. This is not a big news story. Yet, the press and everybody is jumping on it like a big deal. And the reason they're doing it is merely lobbying effort to get money for that Senate foreign aid bill for the Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan. And whether or not that bill makes sense or not is besides the point. The press shouldn't play along with this really ridiculous lobbying of false, fake stories from the Washington swamp, John. I'm really disgusted by the press by going along with this.
Space Force. The Space Force has a cool uniform. What are they doing with it, Bob?
Well, in this case, nothing. Or maybe something, but not with Northrop Grumman. Back 6 months ago, they announced the contract awards to both Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman, two different awards, both close to $1 billion, to build, each company would build 36 satellites of a 72-satellite communications constellation. Well, this week, Space Force announced that it had canceled the contract for Northrop Grumman. They did, the announcement did not say anything about Lockheed Martin. So it sounds, and they said that the reason they canceled the Northrop Grumman contract was because of issues of cost overruns and scheduling problems. Now, this contract is like $750 million, and they just canceled it. So they really had have had problems. If this only 6 months after it's award, they've canceled it outright. It's possible they canceled both contracts for whatever reasons we don't know, but that's not what the story says. It says that Northrop Grumman had a problem, and that does indicate something about Northrop Grumman that is of concern, John.
India deorbiting a satellite. A general question about deorbiting. There has been talk over the years of developing a way to bring satellites down or to put them, put that method into the satellite before you launch it. Where are those conversations, Bob, about deorbiting all that junk?
A lot of this is the modern globalist move to try to gain control over everything. This has always been an issue, but it's never been. There's a consistency of the game here that's a little annoying, kind of like that swamp story about anti-satellite. So for the last year or two, based on UN recommendations, almost every government agency in the world has been arguing that everybody has got to deorbit things quickly. And so Europe did this recently. It used leftover fuel on a defunct satellite to bring it down sooner. And India now has done the same thing. It had a defunct imaging satellite that finished its job in 2019. It was going to be up in orbit for at least two or three more decades. They had leftover fuel on it, so they used that fuel to bring it back and have it deorbit over the ocean this week. Now, this is a good thing, but the argument, I think, the reason that suddenly governments are aware of this is they're trying to institute a policy where they can control how satellites are built and how they're run and how they're deorbited. And a lot of that is maybe good sense, but a lot of it is power play and they want control.
Is it a burden to develop an attachment or something that supplements the satellites that when
no.
you put it in orbit, you can bring it down? Is that expensive?
No. I mean, in this case, they just simply had leftover fuel and they used the fuel. For decades, nobody used leftover fuel for this purpose. They let the thing stay until it eventually naturally decayed. But in the case now is they're now playing this game. Well, we got the fuel. We'll use it. Well, that's good. They should use it. But I will point out that companies, private companies like SpaceX, have been routinely, from day one, using this leftover fuel from their upper stages to deorbit those upper stages immediately after launch. Most rocket companies, government especially, they leave the second stages up in orbit to decay naturally. SpaceX doesn't do that. It gets rid of them right away.
What about the satellites themselves?
Starlink satellites are designed to maneuver and be deorbited. For example, SpaceX announced recently it's going to deorbit 100 of its early Starlink satellites because it's afraid they might fail and then lose maneuverability capability. So rather than wait for them to fail and not be able to remove them from orbit, they're going to bring them down already. And so this is a good thing. It's just interesting that suddenly governments are thinking about it when, in fact, it's been something to do for decades.
Artemis Accords. What is it, Bob?
The Artemis Accords was created and conceived during the Trump administration as an interesting political maneuver to get around the legal restrictions against private property and private investment in space that is imposed by the Outer Space Treaty. What this Trump administration said is we're going to sign bilateral agreements with other nations in which we will both commit to protecting property rights in space. Another thing in the language defies the Outer Space Treaty, but the linking, I think, was politically, if you can get a big enough alliance together of people with like mind here, you would then have the political power and clout to get around the Outer Space Treaty and maybe even cancel it. So a new country has joined the Artemis Accords. This is the 36th nation. This is Uruguay. They signed the Artemis Accords this week. And they joined, I got the list, 36 other countries, many of which are most of the spacefaring nations of the world are on this list, but then a lot of third world nation countries that don't have any space program at all. They want to be in on the game because the United States has this Artemis program to go to the moon, and you sign these accords, you can participate in some manner, and there's money to be made, and there's funding to be obtained from the U.S. if you do it. Whether or not the Artemis Accords is going to follow the Trump administration conception is hard to say right now. Biden administration seems not as interested in that. They're basically using this to put together an alliance. But what that alliance will do is not clear anymore. And that's the unknown.
Bob Zimmerman, it's happy birthday, Bob Zimmerman, for your subscriptions or donations. We're turning to exploration. Somebody's going to land on the moon is the ambition. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bachelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Bachelor.